It's Power Hour LSU.
PHL, extra little bit of swag, an extra little bit of taste.
Yeah. Man, I'm headed to the crib. Terror of the dragon, I'ma always keep it real. Everything gon' get devoured, it's the power. LSU with Carter, it's the power. LSU with Carter, man, I'm headed to the crib. Terror of the dragon, I'ma always keep it real. Everything gon' get devoured, it's the power. LSU with Carter, it's the power. LSU with Carter, man, I'm headed to
the crib. Let's freaking go. Oh my goodness, there is so much to talk about. We've got a clip tomorrow at noon, our interview with Bryce Underwood, and a very special someone else will air at noon. So we'll post a link down below. Type Y for yes, type N for no if you are going to watch it, because guess what? Some of you have already seen it. It is on Patreon right now, patreon.com/LSU football. It's been up all day. So if you cannot wait till tomorrow to watch the Bryce Underwood interview, go support us, Patreon. If you sign up, you get a Joe Burrow card in the mail. The link is down below. Now, obviously, it is tough for me to do a show when something near and dear to my heart dies. And what died tonight might be my New Orleans Pelicans fandom after the most gut-wrenching loss to the Los Angeles Lakers. We'll talk about that coming up, and we'll talk some LSU baseball and all of that. But you are here for LSU football chatter. And the reason why a lot of you are excited is because of the man in the thumbnail. His name is CJ West, a potential defensive tackle target from Kent State. They won one game last year, but then again, they had a first-year coach after their offensive coordinator or their head coach left to be go be the offensive coordinator at Colorado, and he got fired midway through the season, and now Deion has his own kids doing the transfer portal stuff for him. Both of his kids have posted on Instagram stories that they are looking for recruits, which is probably the most ridiculous thing I think I've ever seen, but point being, he is coming from a losing program, and he's trying to go somewhere where he can win. And LSU is obviously set to go for a run to the college football playoff. They just need some defensive tackle help. And CJ West very well could be the guy. We got some film study coming up on that today. And look, some things do matter in this present day transfer portal. And some of those things is money, right? If you are a decent defensive tackle with a decent PFF grade, guess what? Guess what? You're going to get offered, and you can go get yourself a bag. So I've been hearing all different types of things. I talked to, I talked to a transfer portal DT last week, and you know, it's a very wild time to be living in and looking for a lineman. And we've told you this. You can go find pass catchers in the portal. You can. There's always going to be talented defensive backs in the portal. Linemen are really hard to get. There's only so many people that are over 300 pounds that exist and also can run and also can two-gap a guard and a tackle, or actually two-gapping would be a guard and a center, but still, or just a guard or center, but you guys know what I'm saying. The point is, there's just not as many big folk out there, and CJ West is definitely a big dude. I've watched some of him, and in just a second, we'll have a little bit of film study to go through. We're also going to talk about Kylan Jackson tonight. I have gotten quite a few messages saying, hey, Carter, we know you like Kylan Jackson a lot. He had a good game in the spring game. And should he start over Sage Ryan or Jordan Gilbert or over Major Burns? What I would say about Kylan Jackson is one way that LSU really needs to use him is on special teams. One thing that was very interesting about his high school tape or his highlight reel is there are a lot of plays on there on special teams. And one way you can get him some playing time early on is see if he can actually give you something in that facet of the game. remember, our offense is going to be as good this year as it was the year before. So we're probably going to be punting more, and our punt team is going to need to be better, especially since we lost Jay Bramblett. Kickoff team. You know, we have Nathan Dibert. He's a kickoff specialist. We also got Aaron Burrell coming in. Both of them could boot the ball comfortably out of the end zone almost every time. And still, it would be nice to have a better kickoff team, some more kickoff players that are out there. So as a special teamer, Kylan Jackson can give you something, but I want you guys in the comment section, why either now or if you're watching this down the road, let me know if you think Kylan Jackson can be a big-time special team player or a starting safety. All right. So we're going to go through basically everything. Now, because I love each and every one of you, here is a preview for tomorrow.
Tell more people about who you are as a person.
I'm a family man, for sure. I love being around my family. And also, with that being said, I'm very giving. I'm very kind, you know. I love giving my heart on, you know. So,
let's go.
For sure.
I love that.
Yes, sir.
That'll be tomorrow. Pretty cool moment for us on PHL. And look, it's always interesting when you're interviewing someone in high school. And man, he is mentally and physically well put together. But you're going to love the interview. It's not just him. There's some film study. He's breaking down some plays for us tomorrow on Power Hour LSU. And I guarantee you, the film study that we do tomorrow is very impressive, because I actually asked him about a deep cut play. Like, it's one that you can't find on his highlight reel. All right. He remembered every single detail. It's ridiculous. Like, these LeBron James, Caitlin Clark type. And I don't know if he's going to be that good. He is pretty good, but like, these truly elite athletes can remember these special plays. And the thing was, this play was not special. It's a very monotonous play that he probably would have liked to forget about. And he broke it. He broke every detail down of it. It was insane. So if you want to see that, we've done plenty of film study. We did it with Patrick Queen. We're lucky to break down some plays with Joe Burrow once upon a time. This will be the youngest guest we have ever had on PHL. At least since Colin Hurley, when he jumped on and did some film study with us, roughly a year and a half ago. So there you go. The great Bryce Underwood, that was Bryce, and you will see him on PHL tomorrow. It will air at noon. So really pumped up about that. Now, lots to talk about with the spring game. Obviously, I do want to touch on this at the very beginning, because it was a very momentous last 24 to 48 hours. Shout out to Angel Reese. You know, a basic all-time tenet of LSU women's basketball. You cannot tell the history of LSU athletics without Angel Reese. And she had her dream come true, going to Chicago to play for the Sky. Chicago is a great basketball city. Great. United Center, great place. Love the arena. And she is teaming up with Camilla Cardosa of South Carolina. They are very similar players. I'm interested to see how that fit works, but she'll play for Teresa Witherspoon, one of the great women's basketball legends. So shout out to you, Angel Reese. Okay. Now, we will talk about the Pelicans. We will. Sometimes I wish I had an NBA channel. But when you have an NFL channel, an SEC channel, I'm starting to write again for a few SEC websites. It's hard to do NBA coverage as well. But we will get into that. Now, I want to talk about the defensive tackle market. All right. So CJ West gets offered, and I went to go give him a look. Now, do I know if LSU has a legit shot for CJ West? I think that they probably have a better shot for West at this point than they do for Philip Bleedy or Blitty. I don't know how to pronounce his last name, the young man from Indiana. Now, when I've watched both of them, I've not been able to watch Wes as much as I got to watch Phillip. Phillip is probably the better player. He played in a better conference at Indiana and went up against some really good offensive line. So you got to think, you know, the Michigan offensive line, it's a game I really watched of him, and he did some really good things in that game. But at this point, beggars can't really be choosers. You've just got to get some real meat in the middle of that LSU defense. And right now, you just don't have that. You know, I thought the run game was stifled fine at times during the spring game there, and that kind of gave me a cause of concern if our running game is going to be where it needs to be next year. But for me, we definitely, and I really do mean this, we definitely need to do a better job of recruiting the defensive line position. One thing that I think will just happen for a lot of LSU fans, they'll see Dominic McKinley and they'll see, well, he's got a five-star rating. He could come in and save the day. And the truth is, he'll be able to give you some snaps next year. But number one, there's never been more pressure for any defensive tackle to, you know, step in and play right away and be a difference maker. And number two, never has this position group looked like this. And, you know, I was on AYS last night and we talked about how this very well could be the most dire position group we have seen, all right, at LSU. Honestly, I felt that way about the secondary going in to last year. But, you know, you look at defensive tackle, it's a mess. It's an absolute mess. So I'm going to let you make your own conclusions here. Of CJ West. So here is just a small little snippet of what he looks like as a prospect. Let's go! CJ West in the transfer portal. There he is right here. I love this. You know, Mason Smith really ate with this last year, putting a nose tackle straight head up on the center. I talked about this in a recent Tennessee film study, how much I love doing this very thing, because this is what I did as a DT, getting straight head up on a center. It's really hard as a center to deal with a swim move from a straight head up zero tech, and it was kind of a shade, but either way, you're able to generate some pressure right up the middle. And obviously this isn't the be all end all, but that's the type of pressure that you need, and we would love to have that. And of course, you know, Akron was able to get a first down here on this mesh concept. So there you go. Now, tonight, we're giving away some wonderful goodies. First $20 Super Chat gets either a Joe Crier, Ahmad Bro, or Tylan Singleton autograph photo right to your mailbox. That comes from me. Obviously, you guys know during the offseason, you watch every stream, or a lot of you do. The Super Chats can get a little dry during the offseason. So $20 is obviously really nice autographs when I got to interview these three young men. So does that clip help you when it comes to CJ West? And look, Spectrum Wellcare, I hope you're right. I hope we are leading for Phillip. I would like to think so, but I've had my heart ripped out already tonight. Look, there's been so many different like college football hot takes out there about, well, you know what, the transfer portal is going to be crazy. Wait for the spring transfer portal window. We've seen a lot of the national media, college football media, say, hey, there's going to be a ton of A-listers, surprise names that you see entering the transfer portal. And so far, there really hasn't been like an A-lister that has entered the transfer portal outside of maybe Kermani McClain at Colorado. I mean, how good is he? I don't know. I've heard attitude issues. I mean, he's a five-star, whatever. But, you know, I try not to get too up or down for any transfer up to this point other than defensive tackle. So hopefully Bleedy and the great CJ West join us. Now, there was a pretty big Louisiana name, and this man right here might be making an appearance on our Bryce Underwood interview tomorrow. I got to meet him this weekend. Fitzpatrick Pitts wants to talk Trevante Citizen to LSU. I am very interested. So he goes to Miami, doesn't play at all. 2022, still recovering from an injury. 2023, I don't think he registered a single carry, had a single-digit number, well over 220 pounds. Those are my kind of running backs. I like thickness. You guys know it. Thickness is where it's at in all walks of life. Got to have some meat on your bones to play in the SEC at the running back position. And Citizen definitely fits the mold. I definitely would like another running back, but maybe you need to get someone that's a little bit more proven. But at this point, if he fits an athletic profile that works for you, and it would be nice to get a running back transfer on in, sure, go get him. But obviously, one thing I would say is, and I don't know anything about Citizen's situation. I don't know a whole lot of LSU fans that would feel great about Trevante Citizen, because he did do the cap thing very dramatically. And pick Miami over us, and that obviously was a thorn in the side of many LSU fans. So, you know, I gotta be real. All right, I am hoping that we do get another running back. I really, really, really do. But there you go. I'm excited. You guys are getting me more confident about Phillip potentially coming in. We did a film study on him on our Patreon page from the Michigan game, and you got to see a few impressive plays that he made back-to-back in that game that really blew my socks off. It really was good, okay? But we'll see. We'll see. I do think at this point, Phillip and CJ, now I need to watch a little bit more of West. They would at least be the defensive tackle too, which means a starter on our team next year. All right. They would. So there you go. Now, One thing I think really matters to me, it might not matter a lot to you, and we get our first super chat, so we'll go here, and I'll get to this next topic, and it is from Desmond. What's up, man? Good to see you again. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. He wants to ask me about Jacoby Matthews. I don't think Jacoby Matthews will be a part of LSU's team next year because of the rules. You can't go from SEC to SEC team in the later transfer portal window. Now, was that a miscalculation by him for not entering the transfer portal early? Maybe it was. I don't know. But there was a coaching change, and we've already taken a Texas A&M defensive back, and that, of course, was Jordan Gilbert. But we took him in the spring cycle. Jacoby Matthews would immediately be the best safety on our team. And that's not really saying a whole lot, because safety is kind of a concern for a lot of us. But, you know, he's just good. He's really, really, really good. He actually had a really good game versus LSU last year. So, you know, I would love for him to be a part of this team. Maybe, just maybe, there's some, I mean, there's all kinds of new rules as far as a portal that happen every single day. Maybe he gets some type of waiver to where he can play for us next year. But, you know, I doubt that's going to happen. I doubt he's going to go. Doubt he's going to go to LSU. It would be nice though, because well, he's still got some really good friends on the team. He's friends with Jordan Allen. He's friends with Harold Perkins. Obviously, he's probably familiar with some of the members of our coaching staff. So, obviously, one man can dream, but I don't think that's going to happen. Now, shout out Ponchatoula, Amarion Walker, Jacoby Matthews, then, of course, Tyjae Spears. One of my favorite picks on Underdog Fantasy. Don't forget to go sign up. Use my promo code Carter for a deposit match bonus up to $100. Underdog Fantasy. I probably have drafted Tyjae Spears more than any other player. I think he's going to be so good next year for the Titans, and I'm not worried about Tony Pollard. But still. I would like to think that Caden Durham would like to run track at LSU. You know, I'm certainly down, especially if it's track and LSU football. So there you go. We say hi to Terrence, pick six, who's already watched me do an hour-long show a little bit earlier today, my football card show. Good to see you. Javon, good to see you. Tony, GT, Todd, Mark, talking about PSG. We're not going to talk soccer tonight. I'm not in the mood to talk about soccer. TLV calling me out for my NBA fandom. Love the freaking NBA. LSU baseball gets a W? Yeah, Fitzpatrick. Got to talk about TJ Finley as well. Another great Ponchatoula player. Let's see. Want to say hi to Trevor. Thanks for following on Twitter. Good to see you. TT, what's good? I was not able to watch LSU baseball game tonight. I was able to go have some dinner with my parents. Had some shrimp and grits. It was absolutely fantastic. LSU baseball final score 6-3 over New Orleans. And they will be back in action versus Missouri. Definitely probably the worst SEC baseball program and one of the worst teams in the Power Five, Missouri. Or at least I think they are. We are definitely not that much better, and that'll be a three-game series this weekend. So there you have it. Now, I want to get into a brief discussion here about the transfer portal. And something that Brian Kelly said in an interview or in a media session last week about only looking for defensive tackles, I don't think that that's true. I just don't think that that's true. I think that's their main priority. I think it was also sending a message saying, hey, we really do need defensive tackles, and we need defensive tackles more than any other position. But I would, as a coach, never just shut down anyone or any option. So I don't think that he's actually going to do. Let's see. Apparently we got a Venmo from Jordan. Jordan wants me to talk some NBA. So you did super chat, so we'll go straight to it. Will the Lakers get swept in round one? I believe they will not. Of course, last year they got swept by Denver, and that's who they're going to play in round one, I believe, unless I'm just completely off on this. I think LeBron's gonna win a game or two here. I do believe the Pelicans really need not a hard reset, but they really have to ask some seriously difficult questions. What I would say briefly about the Pelicans is tonight possibly could have been the worst night for them. So you lose to the Lakers again. You were about to get blown out, and then Zion goes Super Saiyan. And then, you know, you can't help an injury, but Zion gets hurt again. All right. Y'all, your best ability is availability. Brandon Ingram was benched, a healthy scratch, I believe, down the stretch. CJ McCollum stunk, but at least he's always there for us. Got to ask questions about Willie Green. Y'all, this is tonight could have been the worst night, because the Pelicans brass could look at it and say, well, we were close and we should just run everything back, but Zion got hurt. You understand what I'm saying? So I don't know. I don't know. But then again, I love the NBA. I love analyzing the NBA. I just like being an NBA fan instead of doing like NBA YouTube. But I do think they need to change coaches. I do. Okay. But Jordan, I don't think the Lakers are going to get swept. And look, I understand like someone like Giannis is hurt for the second consecutive year in the playoffs, but Giannis has already won a title. So players get hurt, but man, that was untimely. That was untimely. And just a few weeks ago, Zion sat out with finger soreness in a game that we needed versus the Spurs. You know, this is how I feel about football as well. All right. And this will help. I promise you, this will help your football evaluation, whether it's Alabama in overtime or whether it's a spring game. Always ask yourself a question when you're doing any type of player evaluation. How many replacement level players would have made the same play? Or another way to look at it is, when a player makes a play, how perfect were the circumstances? All right. You know, and you'll see this tomorrow with the interview. I didn't want the interview I did with Bryce Underwood to be like just me and him talking. I put a bunch of clips, kind of documentary style stuff, but I also put some film study in there. One thing I really like about Bryce Underwood's film is not every situation was perfect. All right. A lot of his stuff was like kind of translatable stuff that could work in any level. And I understand high school football in Michigan isn't the same as high school football in Texas, like a Caden Durham dominated, or high school football in Louisiana. But if you really look at his clips, there are a lot of high level plays within the structure of the play design. It's really impressive stuff. Whereas, you know, if you're let's just say a quarterback and you're throwing to a wide open guy in a busted coverage, like what happened this weekend, there were still really good throws by Garrett Nussmeier. But how many quarterbacks are making that throw? And that's one thing that kind of really changed for me with Garrett Nussmeier. You know, you started to see it in the Georgia game, him making some very special, rare type of throws. And you saw it again in the Wisconsin game. Those are the kind of things I like to see, right? And for me, whether it's the Pelicans, where everything needs to be perfect, Zion needs to be absolutely perfectly healthy, and the Pelicans need everything to be going their way. No, I want to see you win in difficult situations. I want to see you make plays in difficult situations. So, you know, I just think that's very, very, very important. How are you in how you deal with crisis? The best example of this is actually Jaden Daniels. You know, everyone talks about how good a supporting cast was, elite offensive line, elite wide receivers and all of that. But one thing I've pushed back on Twitter, and I'm not going to push back too hard on national NFL analysts, because they can't and don't watch every single snap that Jaden has like we do. But there is an alarmingly high amount of Jaden plays where the situations aren't perfect, where the protection wasn't perfect, where the situation wasn't perfect. He had a ton of come from behind games last year. We were losing by multiple touchdowns versus Ole Miss, so we didn't win, but he, you know, darn near won the game for us. Missouri, we were down by double digits. Florida, we were down by double digits. Arkansas, we were down by double digits. And he kept finding ways to get it done for us. You know, with the Pelicans, we just need so-and-so to stay healthy. We just need this. We just need our situation to be wonderful. And the truth is, we don't have a reliable superstar, and we don't have a reliable number two. Okay? So, there you go. Will Caden run track at LSU? I do not know. I honestly do not know. I would like to think that he would like to. I think the more interesting question, will Jelani Watkins run track and field at LSU? Jelani freaking Watkins has grown on me. He really, really, really has. You know, I think the two fastest players ever at LSU would be Trenton Holiday and Xavier Carter. Now, whoever number three is, we can have the debate. Maybe it's Chris Hilton. Chris is obviously very special in terms of speed. But Jelani Watkins has got to be up there. He's got to be up there with the, 10-200 meter? That's absolutely absurd. To me, though, you want to know my God's honest truth, who I think the fastest player at LSU actually is, when you factor in acceleration, body control, physicality, all those different things, stop, start, acceleration, is Ja'Marr Chase. Ja'Marr Chase probably played faster as a player than any player I've ever seen at LSU, if that makes sense. I mean, he's obviously absurdly quick, but his play speed is just a sight to behold. Malik Nabers is definitely in that convo as well. So Joseph says Benny Brazil or Benny Brazil. I actually have his Cincinnati Bengals rookie ticket auto sitting over here. He's definitely up there as well. He was definitely special speed-wise. I thought he'd be a little bit better as a football player, but he still made the league, and I didn't. And I think the best I ever ran was like 5'3 or 5'4 in high school. So there you go. We go to Platinum Obama. He said, glad to see LSU finally recruiting Central Louisiana star. Shout out JT Lindsey getting the commitment. I one of you texted me earlier today about James Simon. That was Jordan. And, you know, you guys know how I feel about James Simon. I'm not going to go down that road again. So let's go to Brian. Hey, Carter, where do I rank this Georgia front seven with Mikel Williams and Nazir Stackhouse? I've not gotten to watch any Georgia, all right? I'm going to eventually get to their spring game. But now that I do so much SEC content on Power Hour SEC, I'm always going to treat the fan bases that give me the most love first. All right. And those teams, LSU 1, Tennessee 2, Arkansas 3. Those, obviously with the LSU channel here, Tennessee and Arkansas. And believe it or not, Auburn fans are starting to share my stuff. I did actually two Auburn videos I still think, though, taking LSU out of the equation, all right, taking LSU totally out of the equation, I truly do believe the most diehard, good, bad, toxic, non-toxic fan base that exists in the SEC are Tennessee fans. They are the perfect mix of actually being a good program and also delusionally thinking they're going to get back to a national title level. One thing I saw that was interesting, there's an NFL guy I follow named Derek Klassen. He's a QB evaluator for 33rd team. All right, just a regular guy. I like seeing it. He's a very good QB evaluator. And I've talked to him some about the LSU offenses. Burrow, he's just super sharp. He got on the wrong side of Tennessee Twitter today. He got on the wrong side of it. And some of the stuff they were saying about him, I will not repeat here. Tennessee fans, you do not want to get on the wrong side of them. You don't. And I thank them for all the tourist dollars they spent in Baton Rouge a few weeks ago. So there you go. But what I could tell you, Brian, is after watching Tennessee, they look okay. They look okay. I think they'll be better than what they were last year, though, ironically. Now, I kind of wanted to bring this up because we were getting ready to talk about the transfer portal, but we got a super chat. Y'all, they've got to do something about the transfers that are transferring to four different schools during the spring period. Okay, Tennessee had a pass rusher named Tyler Barron. Very good player. Had a single-digit number at Tennessee. Great pass rusher, too. So for those that aren't familiar, Tennessee has James Pierce. James Pierce is the number one edge-ranked prospect for the next NFL draft cycle. And Tyler Barron was a beneficiary of that because he got a lot of favorable matchups. But it wasn't good enough for Tyler. So I believe he transferred to Ole Miss, backed out of that. He transferred to Louisville, participated in Louisville spring practice, and he's back in the portal. Multiple players from Louisville that just transferred in are transferring out. Okay? I am all for player movement. But that is absurd. It is not good for any sport. For any sport to transfer and be committed to four different schools during a 2-month stretch. Sorry. I can't get on board with that. Let's go to Cliff. Good to see him. Cliff was one of many PHLers. He is still the prez of PHL. You can ask Cliff. Our spring game was insane. Cliff actually helped film the Bryce Underwood interview, so you'll see it tomorrow. Jordan asks a million-dollar question. Who would win between Colin Hurley and Bryce Underwood 2 years from now? I will sidestep that one. In terms of, you know, the recruiting ranking, obviously Bryce Underwood is the best LSU football recruit of all time. Now I'm not saying he's the best player. Okay. Those are two completely different things, but I truly do believe he has the potential, of being one of the best LSU quarterbacks ever. And I do think he'll be very special, but Colin Hurley is just so freaking good at all these little things. And Bryce is too. We talk about it tomorrow. Colin is so dang impressive. And I think what makes both of them very impressive is their age. They're on the younger side of the recruiting spectrum for their respective classes. One other thing is Colin Hurley helped us get Bryce Underwood in him reclassifying for 2025 to 2024. And that opened up a quarterback slot for 2025. So there you go. But yeah, I truly do believe Bryce is special. I truly do believe it. There are things that I have seen from him that I've not seen from quite a few quarterback prospects. And it's going to be hard for me because every year I take like my own personal player takes seriously. And I've tried my best at identifying who the best quarterback is in every single cycle. And sometimes you get it right, sometimes you get it wrong. There's so many different factors that go into it. Like, for not this cycle, but the cycle before, Nico was my number one guy. So we'll see it play out. We'll see it play out. Okay. For this recruiting cycle, I actually ended up going with Luke Kramnik, who went to Florida State. That's who I picked as the number one guy. Also, a few years ago, I had Cade Klubnik as the number one guy. Now, he didn't start off as the number one guy, but he ended up being the number one guy. And he's not good. It's just not going to work. It's like he is a serviceable Power 5 starter. But one thing that happened to him in high school changed the way I evaluated high school quarterbacks, and it should have been alarming. And it's actually something we mentioned a minute ago, is Cade Klubnik. I believe it was 25 of his 30 games that he started, something crazy. His team won by 30 plus points. All right. It is terrible, terrible if your quarterback's during a developmental stage is never in crisis. Okay. Colin Hurley played in a lot of close playoff games. Bryce Underwood has played in quite a few close, high-leverage games. And sometimes I think it's good for a quarterback recruit to lose one of those games because it just makes you want to work that much freaking harder. So, you know, quarterback evaluation is strange. You know, if you would ask me 4 years ago who would I think would be better? Would it be Walker Howard or Garrett? And that's why I would have told you Walker Howard. But Garrett is what's better, and he won the job. So, you know, you never really know. Quarterback is just the weirdest thing. But, man, I'm Bryce's tape is like just it's jaw-dropping. It is truly, truly, truly spectacular. I mean, it's insane. And he's so freaking young. So there you go. All right, Jordan with another super. Appreciate it, man. You and Desmond holding it down tonight. Predictions for the Bengals this upcoming season. Now, for the Bayou Bengals, we're going 15-0 and winning a national championship. It would be nice. But for the Cincinnati Bengals, man, during my NFL show earlier today, we had a discussion. Who would you rather have? Would you rather have Lamar Jackson or would you rather have Josh Allen? And it's close, right? They're in the same draft class, and they're both truly special Hall of Fame level players. Man, Lamar is still so good, man. If Lamar Jackson is in your division and he's healthy, with that coaching staff, they're always going to be so freaking good. They did lose quite a few key pieces on that defense. Uh, You know what? You know one thing that's really going to help the Bengals out, Jordan, is overall this is a weaker defensive draft class, especially if you compare it to the offensive draft class. But since so many teams ahead of the Bengals in the NFL draft are drafting offense or drafted either a quarterback, receiver, or offensive lineman, and one team will draft a tight end, the Bengals are going to get an elite defensive player at 18. And I think they should go defense. And I've seen Byron Murphy mocked on quite a few NFL draft boards. And I'm not just saying this because Bo Davis might be watching right now. And I would love to have Bo Davis on the channel. So, Bo, if you're watching this from one DT to another, and obviously you were good, I wasn't good. I truly do believe Byron Murphy, the defensive tackle at Texas, is one of the best college defensive tackle prospects I have seen. And I've seen the Bengals getting him in a few mock drafts, and I'm like, holy crap. That would be an insane haul if they're able to get a player of that caliber. And we've seen a lot of defensive tackles go in that teen round and be productive players. Now, unfortunately, Sheldon Rankins didn't work out for the Saints, but Aaron Donald was in that range. Crap, I just drew a blank. Oh, in the last draft class, the guy who plays for the Buccaneers, Kalijah Kancey, is going to be a really good player. They got him in those middle round or that middle round of the first round. You know, I would freaking love for the Bengals to get Byron Murphy. And I can't believe I'm saying this because Sibley's watching, and Sibley is a Longhorn as well. But Byron Murphy, for me, is a top five, top 10 level player. To me, the best players in this NFL draft class. Malik Nabers is number one. I think I've settled in on Marvin Harrison being the number two overall player. Number three is actually the pass rusher from UCLA, Latu. Number four for me is Amarius Mims or Joe Alt. I think those are the two best tackles. And then Byron Murphy is probably number five. If he goes to the Bengals, that is a great fit for him. All right. That is a great, great, great fit. All right. Mason Taylor is going to be a college football household name this fall, says Ball Y'all. Household name. So for you to be a household name as a tight end, and this happens once every month, we need to get Joy Taylor on the channel. There is not a bigger Joy Taylor fan base than my channel. Obviously, you know, I got to spend some time with Joy at the SEC championship game a few weeks ago. I also got to be around Jason for a little bit, and obviously Jason Taylor's all-time NFL great. I saw Mason at the spring game, but he was swarmed. I would have loved to have met him and tell him how much I appreciate him as a player. He is just so well-rounded, high football IQ guy. He's just really freaking good at football. And look, you know, the one thing that he just does not have is yak. He's not an elite yak guy. But great hands, great blocker, knows where to be at all times. Started as a true freshman, later enrollee, three-star out of Florida. And has really just been solid. So freaking solid. Now, Edward O says Taylor will be the best tight end in the NCAA this year. Good year for SEC tight ends, though. You know, Florida, I think they returned the young man. I think he's from Connecticut, where's number eight. I think they returned him. Nye Black transferring from Alabama to Texas is scary. He'll step into that Jatavion Sanders role. Arkansas's tight end room is stacked. Luke Haas is amazing, and he is the highest graded returning tight end in the SEC. One thing Mason has all over has over them all is blocking. It's crazy. Absolutely crazy. We got an Arch Manning discussion. I actually sat next to Cliff for a good portion of the spring game. He says, Ricky Collins better work hard this fall to keep Hurley from QB2. Yeah, look, I'll be honest, Ian. I just don't know if Colin Hurley can get up to QB2 before the start of next season. I also don't think Brian Kelly would want that. And to me, the most likely scenario is Garrett Nussmeier is a 2-year starter at LSU. And as Jordan pointed out a minute ago, it's going to be a battle that year for who is actually going to start. I don't want to be the guy that decides that battle. It's going to be Joe Sloan. I actually took a peek at a 2026 kid they're recruiting, which is ironically Rajah Bell's son, Dia Bell, also out of Florida. So there you go. But it's also ridiculous, you know, they always mention he's Jason Taylor's son. Like, you could put an all-time NFL legendary team together of sons, siblings of LSU players. Like, you could put legit an all-time great team. Right? Your quarterback could be a lot of different people. It could be Philip Rivers. It could be Brad Johnson. I'm just kind of trying to think of this. There's probably someone better out there that I'm not thinking of. Running back could definitely be a lot of different players. Odo Beckham at one of the receivers. So, yeah, it's a fun exercise. I kind of want to do that exercise now. Randy Moss would be a receiver as well. So, Odo Beckham Sr., Randy Moss. Hey, we could do this all day. So, there you go. Now, I hate to bring this up. Because every year this gets into a debate. And sometimes it can get messy. But the greatest Louisiana high school football player of all time. There are so many different people that would have so many different answers. But a guy who is beyond reasonable doubt in the discussion is Ryan Perilou. Got honored tonight. I believe it was some Hall of Fame award for, I think it was Louisiana Hall of Fame or Louisiana High School Hall of Fame, whatever the case may be. Okay. I cannot say this enough. I will always be a Ryan Perilou fan. Spoke to him multiple times on campus. You know, once again, brief interactions. I do know people close to him that I consider really good friends from college. So I always say that if you know, there might be a conflict of interest or me saying whatever. Ryan Perilou was so good for us when he was here. And of course, it didn't work out. Of course, we would have wanted the story to have a better ending. He's done interviews and trust me, there's not anyone that probably hates him more than him. But he was so talented. He goes to Jacksonville State, was okay there and still lasted in the NFL. I mean, that's just how prodigiously talented he was. And we do not win a national championship without him. So he was not a bust at LSU. Did he perform under expectation? Sure. But I wanted to show him some love. If I'm going to be the only LSU channel that loves him, and I'm not. I think most people have let bygones be bygones. But my goodness gracious, it's crazy. Cliff, Shorty, what's up? He sat with me and Cliff at the spring game as well. My favorite LSU quarterback, not named Joe Burrow. Obviously, Jaden Daniels. I mean, I think everyone's going to say Jaden Daniels, but he kind of, I mean, you're going to pick the other Heisman Trophy. For me, it's probably Jay Russ. But there's so many. I lived in the same apartment complex as Jared Lee, and Jared was always super nice. So I had a, not like a, we weren't bros or anything like that, but we were friends. So I'll always show love to Jared Lee. Jordan Jefferson was someone, you know, I was at school at the same time. Russell Shepard, even though it's kind of a technicality. But there's so many, but I would probably, I will probably be on Team J Russ because I freaking love him. I just do. And it's also one of those things with Perilou where like, yeah, it didn't really work out, you know, in terms of arm talent and athletic ability. They're both, you know, they both had cannons, right? But if you want to talk about a quarterback when it comes to crunch time play, this is just an honest question. How many quarterbacks in crunch time were better than Jay Russ? There's just not many. I mean, that goes for any position. I mean, that Ole Miss game, I think a lot of you know which one I'm referencing, was so insane. Like, tough, difficult throws. And then, of course, there he is. What's up? Lisey Dex in the house. I know Lisey Dex remembers his throw. Matt Flynn will tell you this as well. So last year we did a little exercise, a little project. What is the best throw you have ever seen at LSU? And of course, 3rd and 17 is probably going to be the one. Bluegrass Miracle is definitely up there, but you know, it was a miracle. The Arizona State throw by Jamarcus Russell is still the throw that I keep going back to. That throw is always seared in my mind. And there's probably 10 to 15 quarterbacks who have ever existed that could have made that throw. It's like Mahomes, Allen. I mean, your arm, definitely Brett Favre, but like your arm had to have been something truly, truly special to do what he did in the Arizona State game. All right. And thankfully, College Football Replay was not around then. but Jay Russ, Arizona State. Matt Flynn will tell you. Because he commented. Because a lot of people were commenting Flynn to Bird. And Flynn was like, no, that Arizona State throw is a throw, once again. Mahomes makes that throw almost every time. Allen does. I mean, you've got to have a special, special, special arm to complete what he did. And that arm is one of one. All right. I think in terms of arm strength, obviously Met is up there. Ryan is up there. But Jay Russin, that is still the best right arm I've ever seen at LSU in terms of strength and verticality. It's crazy. It's crazy. Met was special, though. Met had a special right arm, too. Rohan Davey. Yes, Rohan Davey had himself a cannon. Rohan is very underrated. And it's still crazy. That 528-yard game still holds up, man. Still holds up the test of time. And we got some Burt Jones here. I've shared my Burt Jones story. One of his really good friends is one of my really good friends. I've seen Burt at a few parties because of this mutual friend, and Burt is always super kind. I have his autograph helmet over here. Tommy Hodson. Got some Herb Tyler love. There you go. But no one has said Danny Etling yet. You know, we're big Danny Etling defenders. Here's Gorilla as a Willie Green question. So this is a very good point, okay? The record has improved every year under Willie Green. I'll give you that. There's a lot of drama with some of our stars. Definitely give you that, all right? Western Conference, definitely give you that, all right? But the way that this comment sounds kind of sounds like some of the same things I hear about Matt McMahon and his coaching, right? Well, did you know how much he had to turn around? Do you know how much he had to flip the roster? And those are very valid claims. And I like sports analysis with extra context. I really, really, really do. All right. And I don't really put, you know, I thought some of the timeouts in the fourth quarter of the Pelicans game tonight were a little strange. But, you know, whenever a coach is struggling, the defense is always, do you realize that this are happening? And look, Willie was dealt a tough hand with the Zion stuff. But, you know, it's one of those things. If he wins this next play-in game, I think I'm fine running it back, but I don't know. So there you have it. Shorty says, you know, the promise I made you at the game. Okay, cool. I would love to. DJ, a very special day. I got a pretty big one coming up on Saturday, so really excited about that. What's interesting, this is what I'm doing on Saturday. The bride and grooms, I've never done a wedding because, you know, if you're a DJ, you do like song consultations. I have one coming up for someone that's actually watching the show right now. You don't have to reveal it yourself, but you know, I have this coming up for him and his fiance. This was a first. Okay. The young man said, hey, at my wedding, I want you to play some Widespread Panic. All right. Widespread Panic and Fish. All right. And like, I know who those bands are. I can't name a single song. Like, I just can't. I don't think I've ever had someone said, hey, I want some Widespread Panic. The one thing about Widespread Panic fans is like fans of like that jam band kind of music. It's not like the biggest fan base. It's not like a Taylor Swift or like Usher fan base, but there's also no casual Widespread Panic fans. It's kind of like fans of Dr. Pepper. It's not the most popular thing, but the people who are the most diehard, or people who are fans of it, they're like super diehard fans of it.
TJ is definitely one of the bigger Pelican fans on here, along with Pierce. So Pierce, I know for certain, watches every game. So I'm probably not the best to get my opinion on it. But yes, Pierce, it is still the dumbest thing that we have in sports. It's an Eastern Conference and a Western Conference in the NBA. So yeah, TJ as well watches every game. One of our patrons is, I wish he was in here, CJ, is like super diehard Pelican fan, like Pierce and TJ that watch every single game. It's hard. It's really, really hard being a Pelicans fan. It really, really, really is. Being a Pelicans fan must feel like being like a South Carolina football fan. Like, you know, you're good. Like, you're good. But will you ever just be elite or great? I don't know. I would say the Pelicans are probably a better NBA franchise than South Carolina football fans are. That's like a college football team, but it kind of made sense in my head. So there you go. Now, here's what we're going to do. In the next 10 to 15 minutes, I will answer as many questions as we possibly can. Feel free to super chat if you want to keep it going all night. I really appreciate each and every one of you. We have not had a YouTube super chat yet. We have had the Venmos and Cash Apps. Those are always preferred. At Carter the Power. Now, TJ, it's the playoffs, right? Like, we don't, like, the last 2 months, we've talked more LSU women's basketball than we normally do. Well, it's that time of season, right? It's the playoffs, and we played against the best player of this era on the biggest brand in all of basketball. So a lot of people are going to be interested in talking Pelicans right now. So if you guys have Pels questions, let me know. And I'll try my best to answer it.
Okay. But dang, Zion was good tonight. He was unstoppable tonight. You know, the most painful thing about tonight, I don't think is necessarily the loss, but what makes everything feel so much more brutal than it actually is that we lost Anthony Davis. Well, we lost to Anthony Davis. Well, that's all, folks. I'll never forgive him for that. All right, TJ with the super. I appreciate that. So I got this update sent to me by somebody who was at the game. And this is actually just a tweet from Will Guillory. I've met Will before, the really talented Pelicans beat writer. He said, Zion Williamson just left the building, wasn't walking with a limp or anything, didn't have a visible wrap on his leg either. that stuff. So we get a super chat here from TJ. He wants to talk about the great CJ Daniels. All right. So let's do this for TJ. All right, TJ, you got your poll question up. Poll question brought to you by Louisiana Controls, louisianacontrols.com. Check out their brand new website. So right now in the chat, I'm interested in what each and every one of you individually say. Who is the number two wide receiver? Who do you think will be second in production next year behind Kyren Lacy?
Putting it on, y'all, for good luck. Oh, God, my head is so fat.
Let me know what you guys think. Hilton currently running away with this poll. Makes sense. I agree with TJ. I think it's a little
harsh to say Zion is out of shape. He's lost a lot of weight. Yeah, I mentioned it on the broadcast tonight.
Epic Shorty. Yeah, no, you already know it. You already know what song I'm gonna sing. Everyone thought when they saw Shorty birthday, they thought about two quarters. They thought about five dimes. They thought about a quarter, two dimes, and one nickel. And if y'all got that reference, you're my kind of guy. When someone named Shorty says it's his birthday, and he says he's going to party like it's his birthday, going to sip some Bacardi, Cliff says he's going to go with CJ. Sibley, it is the Pelican. It's Pierre. And it might just be like, what, if you've actually, like, done a lot of research on Zion? It's also one of those things where it could just be that his body can't withstand the force that he plays with, right? So I don't remember who wrote this article, but they found that Zion Williamson is the quickest jumper in the NBA in terms of when he jumps, lands, and has to jump again. Okay, Shorty. Shorty can't say. Epic Shorty says he can't drink on his birthday.
Now I got to keep it on. I'm feeling the positive vibes. Okay.
So go, Shawty. It's your birthday. We're going to party like it's your birthday. Going to sip Capri Sun, like it's your birthday.
So there's a Shawty remix with Capri Sun.
You know, one of the big Pelican writers, TJ, and I'll answer your CJ Daniels question after this, because I don't think you want to talk about the other CJ for the Pelicans. He had a tough game tonight.
Fear the Brown on Twitter. He's one of my favorite Twitter writers, and I've DM'd him. We've discussed Pelicans in the past. He believes the Pelicans should go all out and go get Karl Anthony Towns. And that would actually make a lot of sense. I don't know if the Wolves are going to do that now that, you know, what they're elite now. They're really, really, really good.
But what are the assets you're going to get in return of a Brandon Ingram trade? Especially if you sat him down in crunch time tonight.
Gets too hot. My head just gets too hot. So, but like, as far as like the Zion thing is concerned, it's crazy that
maybe his body, you know, Danny brought this up earlier. Like, you know, I keep going back to the shoe explosion in the Duke North Carolina game. Like, I remember it just like it was yesterday. It was Duke North Carolina. It was the height of Zion Williamson. You know, at the height of Zion Williamson, he was like Caitlin Clark level famous. And like President Obama was there. Big deal. Pack, Duke, everything. And early in the game, Zion's shoe exploded. And to this day, I have never seen a shoe on a basketball court explode. And this wasn't some random company. This was Nike shoes. I mean, it could just be that he's so freakishly athletic that maybe no human who is his size dimensions can actually withstand it, right? It's we've seen plenty of bigs struggle to hold their weight or their body type. Let me see what the final minutes restrictions look like, or minutes look like tonight. Zion played 36 minutes. That is a lot. Alvarado was good tonight, though. Grand Theft Alvarado. Blake Griffin retired today. It's so crazy to me. Like, Blake Griffin retires. And he's like my age. And I have accomplished very little, and he has accomplished a lot. Okay. So I wanted to, I said I would show this a little bit earlier. Man, so this was Shiloh Sanders' Instagram story. He said, defensive transfers, DM him. Offensive transfers, DM Shedeur Sanders. This not last chance you. The fact that he included that at the bottom is pure comedy. I would not be shocked if this was fake. Like, I literally just copied it and posted it because I thought it was the funniest thing I've ever seen. Okay. Actually, I probably should have confirmed that before tweeting. It's weird. Maybe I should have gone to his IG story first to see. No, it's still up. Dude, I'm
still trying to get information on the Zion thing. So he gets hurt, but he walked out of the arena fine. So weird. So weird. Now, he could have had like a really, really, really bad cramp, or it could just be like placebo. Whenever he lands wrong, he's afraid he's going to re-injure it or whatever. I don't know. It's just strange. It's really, really, really strange. Now, we'll take a few more. Once again, if you super chat like Danny did a minute ago, we'll keep it going. That is the link to the Bryce Underwood interview for tomorrow. So please hit like and set reminder. It'll go live at noon. But if you're not able to watch it live at noon, it will still be live whenever you want to watch it. So there you go. But to answer your initial super chat, TJ, Chris Hilton running away with wide receiver 2.
You asked me if I think CJ Daniels could be wide receiver 4. I honestly think Xavion Thomas is going to be the second best receiver on our team next year. I truly, truly, truly do believe it. You know, the advanced stats would point to CJ Daniels because, once again, he was the NCAA leader in yards per route run. And that's one of the stickier stats. But some of it is just eye tests. But it just feels like when Xavion Thomas is playing, and I felt this way when I watched him in high school, it feels like he is playing at a different speed. Okay. I think he kind of reminds me. He kind of plays, and he's not going to be this caliber of player, but he kind of plays like just a shorter version of like Ja'Marr Chase, right? He's so violent with the football in his hands. And once again, he's not near that caliber of player. No one really is outside of like Malik Nabers and a few others. But I really do think Xavion's going to be the second most productive receiver on our team. And I think 3 and 4 will be a combination of CJ Daniels and Chris Hilton. And Chris can kind of serve the Gabe Davis role as the clear out guy, the vertical stretcher, which helps open space for other receivers to go make plays. This is interesting. This came in from Seth on Twitter. And he asked about my thoughts on the Masters. Actually, had a convo on the Masters with a few other PHL subs. Like they were talking about like the golf ratings being down for the Masters. Well, yeah, a dominant, boring-ish golfer was up by 4 to 5 strokes. You know, he's just so much better than everyone else. And there's really nothing you could do about it. There's no defense you can play. So, what am I dead wrong about CJ Daniels? I think he's going to be good. I mean, I think dead wrong would be me saying that he's not going to be good, which I don't think. Who's a non-spring freshman you think could play a role outside of McKinley? That's a good one. Juwan Johnson does interest me to a certain degree. It's a little bit of a deeper cut, and no one really talks about him. But, he's going to be going through a positional switch going from mostly being a quarterback in high school to a DB. And then obviously Caden Durham, for sure. No doubt in my mind. I'm pretty confident Caden Durham is definitely already part of LSU's plans for 2024, if that makes sense. Jackson Howard getting a bunch of offers. Minnesota. WNBA draft. We talked about Angel a little bit earlier. Semper, what's good, man? Like, everyone made a big deal about the WNBA salaries that came out yesterday. And everyone tried to become a WNBA CBA expert in a matter of like an hour. And I'm not smart enough to understand the revenue sharing and all of that. But Angel and Caitlin are still millionaires from their NIL earnings that will follow them to the WNBA. So I will say 75K in Indiana will go a long way, far longer way than 75K in Chicago. And Chicago is an incredible city. So there you go. I'm pretty sure that'll do it for me. I think I've touched on everything that I've wanted to touch on. We've had a lot of great comments. Our top super chatter of the evening, TJ. I really appreciate you, man. Thank you so much. TJ, Jordan, Desmond, Danny Girl, showing a lot of love. Our only YouTube super. I really appreciate you, Danny Girl. I had to put a mascot helmet to get a YouTube super chat. I'll do that every time. If it means an extra $5 every live stream, I can get down with that. I can. Semper. There you go. We'll keep it going. Once again, every time I see it, I keep thinking it's $100 because that's the red color is how it normally comes up for $100. But $1.49, hey, I'll take it all day. But Simper's also telling me to go to sleep because I got work in the morning. I do. I don't think he's called some 10 wins. But there are some things that I disagree with. I thought that one thing I will give Willie credit for, okay, is that he was bold tonight. You know, he was willing to he was willing to have criticism, because if you lost this game, and okay, let me put it this way. One thing that's helping Willie in the wake of this loss is the fact that Zion got hurt. All right. So, I mean, most people will tell you, well, Zion got hurt, it changed the entire game. But one thing he's not getting enough credit for was him saying, look, CJ and Brandon are playing bad, even though they are two of the best players on our team. I'm going to sit them out in crunch time with the game on the line. And he was willing to live with that decision, despite a lot of people saying you shouldn't never do that. Let's go to Cliff. What do we know about the Trey Holly situation, and how long will they wait before they get another running back in the portal for next year? Once again, I don't know all of the Trey Holly details, but what I would put up is what Wilson Alexander put up earlier today, who's been following that situation very closely. Latest on LSU running back Trey Holly. He pleaded not guilty in court today, and his case is now scheduled for a status conference July 3rd. His attorney, Mike Small, said he hopes the case can be resolved short of trial, but remains confident a jury would find Holly not guilty. Okay. Now, I understand Blake's my buddy, but he actually does know quite a bit about these kinds of things. He said new court date for Trey Holly, July date, was the best case scenario. Let's hope for no delays. So, yeah, all you can do is hope for the best. And, yeah, he's a pretty critical piece, even if you don't think he's getting 30-plus touches this next year. It makes you feel a lot better about the situation. So, yeah, I feel better about him being on the team next year with maybe a suspension for the first game versus USC. But once again, there's just honestly no way of knowing which way any of this is going to go. But so far, he's had some good things go his way. Starting corners for next year. Ashton Stamps, Zy Alexander. There we go. All right, y'all. We'll do it again. I'll take a few more. Once again, if you super chat out, we'll keep it going. But I am winding down. I got to get up really early in the morning.
And we have to push the live stream start time
back. All right, y'all. Appreciate each and every one of you.
I'll be chatting some in the Discord. Once again, if you want to see the Bryce Underwood interview, it is on Patreon right now in its entirety. Please go sign up at the link below. If you're a super diehard fan and you hang out with us multiple live streams throughout the week, go check it out. I guarantee it, you're going to have a good time. PowerHourLSU.com/shop is where you can get my merch. And we'll talk to you soon. It is PHL, baby. Boom. And tonight I am doing some shrimp and grits, baby. Let's go. Let's go. We'll see you tomorrow at noon. Let's go.